Camden Community Radio.
For more information and to volunteer, email info@ccradio.org.
Because the idea is that you pull back the green curtain.
Anne Curtis of Green Curtain Theatre came in to talk to us at Camden Community Radio about the work that the theatre group has been doing and planned events.
And the green curtain is green because? Because we're interested in producing plays about Irish people in England. There is a lot of Irish people in England. And in London, it's said that 1 in 8 people have an Irish grandparent. I'm not sure what the figures are for the number of people who are Irish born or second or third generation, but it runs into millions.
So there are people like myself who grew up in Ireland, whose education is largely Irish and whose kind of understanding of Irish culture would come from there. But you're interested in the children of people born in Ireland or people who came here as young children. Why is that?
Because when we came to school, we went to school in England, nothing was mentioned about our culture. So we would have this sort of disparity where you came from an Irish home where the culture was Irish and you went to Ireland for your holidays a lot. But nothing was ever mentioned in the school that you were in. So we never touched Irish histories. And particularly as the troubles in the north happened, and the implications of that were you heard a lot of things that you didn't really understand, but it was never put into a context.
I remember that I came here as a young adult in the late 70s, and there were a lot of prejudice against Irish people. And I did wonder how you would defend yourself at a psychological level, even, that if you didn't have an education about Ireland, if you didn't know that people who were widely admired, like Yeats or Oscar Wilde or people, that they were actually Irish.
I'm interested in the ordinary people. I'm interested in the people who got the boat, who came over. And how do people defend themselves? They defend themselves by keeping quiet and just mixing in with their own communities. So you've got a sort of very, not insular communities, but very self-sustaining communities in that people would go to work. They might or might not work in the same places, but they would then belong to parishes that had Catholic social clubs attached to them. Their children would probably be going to the same school. They might be mixing in the same pub. So it was all very, the word isn't insular, self-supporting, I suppose.
What was it that you felt that you wanted to do with Green Curtain?
Two things. I first of all wanted to highlight a contribution that was positive, but also to tell the truth. So there's been a great deal of good being done by the Irish community, but there's an awful lot of people who got left behind. And that has its roots in things to do with colonialism and racism over here. Also wanted to make people kind of proud, and in a funny way, I wanted people to understand their parents and their grandparents better. And to just give you an example, there were a couple of times when I would hear people who were of an Irish heritage refer to, I don't know, parents, uncles, whatever, in quite disparaging ways about, you know, the bloody Irish are always drunk, the bloody Irish are always fighting. And I kind of thought to myself, you actually have never walked in that person's shoes. I mean, I'm not defending people, any violence or anything like that. But I thought there was a lack of understanding about where people had come from and how hard it was. I don't think people realised the poverty that their parents and grandparents had come from. I think if you said to people that people who came from rural poverty, the houses, they had no toilets, they had barely one room. There was nothing there for people. I don't think in a modern industrialised society they understood that kind of poverty.
And I think that's possibly true of children who come, even as the children of refugees who come from places now, they often don't understand the poverty where they came from until they go back to visit.
Yeah.
You used to go back to visit, did you?
Yeah, yeah. But I came from the city, so we came from Cork. I was often with my dad in a pub, and some people were talking about some other Irish men who were drinking in the pub. I remember my dad saying to me afterwards, he said, never ever criticise them. He said, they're from places from West Cork, he said, where the land's terrible hard and you can't farm. And sure, what else were they supposed to do? So I think I was brought up with a kind of an understanding that you didn't criticise, that you learnt to, I think, not quite walk in other people's footsteps, but understand there were reasons behind it. Having come from Cork, the sort of family had been victims of the Black and Tans, and they had lived on Grand Parade, which was very near Patrick Street, which was burnt by the British. So there was a real kind of closeness. My grandfather had been beaten up by the Black and Tans and all this sort of stuff.
There's a vein of political awareness about the colonisation and the different relationships. So in many respects, Irish people felt lesser in terms of they'd come from places that were poor and they'd come to England, and sometimes they found it difficult to argue for anything because they were getting a living, which was more than some of them were able to get in Ireland.
I think there was that. And I also think that built into Irish culture, whether on this side of the water or the other, is a sense of shame. I think a sense of shame is terribly strong in the Irish psyche. People really didn't want to talk about the hard bits. And I think that's probably why you might find people who are very aware of the political situation, but have no understanding of the poverty of the domestic situation. And both those things are real oppressions of people. They sit side by side, but the other one is never talked about, because you can blame the oppression on the other, whereas the shame of being poor and not having things is
internalised.
It's internalised, yeah.
Speaking then of poverty, a lot of the people and the stories that you're bringing are not the stories of rich people, wealthy people.
Yeah.
You've written a very interesting play called Just Above Dogs. Tell us a little bit about why you wrote that play and what it's about.
I wrote that play because I wanted to show polarisation. I don't come from a family where people are in construction work, so in a sense it was foreign territory. But you would often be close to those people. Those are the people that you see sitting on the streets with a can of something. Those are the people you see who fall by the wayside largely. But also you see the very wealthy. So it seemed a very good place to actually take that polarisation and try to bring it together on a theatre. So I used the vehicle of a second generation Irish lad who, was wealthy, successful building contractor. And he was a media student. He was a film and documentary maker. His dad thought him a terrible waste and wanted him to go in the business. He'd been privately educated. He'd had everything. It was through his work as a filmmaker that he found an old man in a hostel for the homeless who was dying, and the old man told him his story, and that's how those two families connect. I can say no more than that in case you want to see the play.
Speaking of that, is the play going to be on at any time planned in the near future?
Yeah, we're trying to get it on at a couple of places. I can't say any more than that at the moment, but okay. It's all down to funding.
So it's Watch This Space. Last year you did a celebration of the centenary of the Irish state, and you put on a series of plays.
Yeah.
And a number of the playwrights, most of them in fact, were women.
Yeah.
Was that to do with your circle of friends, or was it something to do with the place of women in...
No, it's nothing to do with the place of women. It was to do with the circle of friends that I had met through writing, and people that I had been introduced to. I think if you go to any playwriting workshop, the majority of people there will be women.
Why is that?
I honestly don't know. I'm running a playwriting workshop next week. I'll ask the men there. I don't really know. I don't know, because it's funny, isn't it? I was trying to put a picture of a female Irish playwright on our website. There's people like Marina Carr, who are well known now, and this Northern Irish woman. She did A Night in November.
Mary Jones.
There's very few, but you get Yeats and O'Casey and all that. There's coming out of ears.
So when you were trying to find a woman playwright to put up there to say, come and be a playwright, you couldn't find one?
I couldn't find one, but hopefully we will find them. There are people out there from the London Irish community, or just the Irish community in England, and we will find them.
Yeah, but you're creating them, aren't you? Anne Curtis, Anne May Mangan, Lorraine Mullany.
Yeah, I mean, Anne May Mangan is very interesting, because she wrote a play about the London Irish that was a bestseller. Maureen was a friend who I didn't even realise had such a strong Irish connection. I've been friends with her for years. What I tried to do, and we started very simply, was I just gathered people together and started. Yeah, and then Martin was introduced to me by Ross Scanlon, who was the director at the Hammersmith Irish Centre,
who's had a hand in the production of a few plays,
and written, very talented. So. Yeah, she introduced me to Martin, and Martin said, "Oh, fantastic! I'd love to be involved." So that was great. So I think in kind of reaching out to people, you touch people and say, "Oh, that's fantastic! I'd really like to do that."
So tell me about the themes of the plays that you did for the 2016.
I left it up to the writers, apart from one, that there was only one condition, that they in some way, their characters linked back to 1916. So the first one took place, was a direct connection. It took place in Wandsworth Prison, and it was based on an idea. I got Martin to write it based on an idea. And the idea was to look at the immediacy of the Easter Rising over here. And I wanted it looked at through the eyes of three people. One was a volunteer who'd been brought over here for questioning. Another was a deserter from the British Army, and the final one was a conscientious objector. We looked at violence and war and uprising through the eyes of somebody who was a revolutionary, somebody who was disillusioned and had seen thousands of people killed in northern France, including a huge, huge number of Irish people, and somebody who refused to take part. And we were looking at the arguments on those sides. So that took place in Wandsworth Prison, where the volunteers were brought, waited while they were taken for questioning.
These were the volunteers in the Irish 1916 Rising.
Yes. We jumped then to 1941, to somebody who came over from Ireland to join the RAF. That was the play that Maureen wrote, and it was based on her father's experience, because they are Protestants from Donegal, so they would be in the minority in Donegal, and, which was an interesting way to look at it. So that he went over, he wanted to join the forces, he was anti-De Valera and De Valera's position, but when he gets over to Burma, where a lot of the action takes place, he meets up with an Irishman who's joined the British Army to take the British Army's shilling, because he's got no way of surviving. So you hear the kind of the arguments and the links back through that. The third one was interesting, was Lorraine's one, which was called Body and Blood, and it was about arranged marriages in Ireland. Now,
I knew marriages in Ireland,
and certainly not until the 70s.
Yes.
So, yeah. And she had a grandmother. Uh-huh. So, and it was telling the story of somebody who comes to London looking for a sister who's run away from the arranged marriage. So we put Just Above Dogs on, because obviously that had an implicit link. And then we did The Importance of Being. That came into the festival rather late, and it was a two-hander. It was about a young woman who visits this lady who's quite strange, who's one of these people who are hidden behind many of the flats in London, and who leads quite a private life. But she lives it through a kind of Edwardian veneer. She's very caught up in the play The Importance of Being Earnest. And what I was interested was that at the root of The Importance of Being Earnest, by Oscar Wilde, is a mother who's lost a child. We never hear anything about the mother, and it's turned into a comedy. This woman is trying to make sense of what's happened to her. You see her with the book doing all the speeches and things like with Big Hat on, things like that. And she's visited by somebody who's adopted, and adopted by a woman who's not a particularly good adopted mother. So it's about their two stories.
You managed to take the plays to a few venues, yes, despite very slim resources. And then I see that you had some more work on earlier this year.
Yes, we needed to find a way of keeping the theatre in people's psyche. So we put on something called Shows from the Songs, initially because we were approached by a cafe who wanted a theatre company to work with, a performance cafe. On the back of the publicity for the festival, we were approached by a performance cafe who were looking for a theatre company who could come along on a fairly regular basis and do stage readings of plays. And there was a particular format of the short play that wasn't being filled. And I thought, well, that for a theatre company that's got no money is actually fairly ideal, because you don't have to spend huge amounts on rehearsal rooms and things like that. You can do it on quite a limited time scale. So we did that, and it went down a storm. So then I thought to myself, well, how do we take that green curtain into that? Because the first one wasn't very Irish, there's nothing to do with Ireland at all, really, though there were a couple of Irish plays in it. And I thought, well, let's take songs and let's put a new take on those songs. And so we took Irish songs. We had When Irish Eyes Are Smiling. We had Danny Boy, which told the story of a gay relationship. We had Dublin in the Rare Old Times, which was about a mixed relationship. What else did we have?
Dublin in the Rare Old Times was very poignant.
Oh, do you like it?
Yes, and I did manage to get there that night, and I thought that the plays were interesting for the way in which the stories were much more modern and recent. And that one in particular, if I remember it, touched on the almost never mentioned issue of Irish marriages with people of a different race.
Yeah.
And it starts, I remember there was a young man who was black who was the barman.
Yeah.
And this woman wandered in, and so we're entertained to his thoughts, this Irish, white Irish woman, his thoughts on various things about attitude. Yeah. And then it transpires that she also had been having a relationship with a man who was black, and she had a whole set of stories.
Yeah.
And I thought that the way it was done was so subtle and lovely because of the acknowledgement, but also, you know, some of the other plays. Mm. I did think the one about the relationship between the two gay men. Mm. I mean, I know it was written by someone who wasn't gay, but I thought it was a very brave effort. Mm. She put them exactly in the same situation and then looked. And there were some points along the way where you think, oh yeah, but it wouldn't really quite happen like that. Yeah. But I thought it was tremendous, and I was really heartened to see that kind of realistic but very thoughtful and very subtle. And as you said, you know, it was done with almost no costumes or props, and yet but people were excellent. Did people really enjoy doing it?
Yeah, the writers did. Interesting, the one that you mentioned went on to win the London Writers Short Play.
I didn't know that.
Gemma's one. It was called Danny Boy.
Danny Boy.
Just straight from the song. Yeah, and there was a lovely monologue. Did you remember the monologue at the beginning about the man at the funeral?
Oh yes.
Yeah, believe me for those endearing young charms.
Oh yes,
that's the one that everybody comes to me about. It's a story about a man who's come over from Ireland and he's spent all his life working. I don't know if it's all his life, but he certainly a substantial part of his life working as a security guard in an art gallery where he's been ignored and it's bored and he's bored and all the rest of it. But he gets his status in life from going to funerals, and
that's
he's a fabulous voice.
Singer.
You're like lots
that's
of people can sing at a wake. And it's the story about how that the wakes underpinning that is the story about how the wakes have now changed, because he used to have great status, Dennis, and they'd go on, Dennis, give us a song, and they'd be giving him a drink.
And he knew his place, and everybody appreciated him.
Yeah.
And then traditions changed.
And then one day he turned up to somebody's funeral, and they just had disco music and some kind of CD.
He's just dismissed.
And
he was dismissed.
Laughed at.
Yeah, absolutely lovely. So what's on the cards now?
We are looking at a few things. We're doing more shows from the songs. So we're trying to get that into more, rather than hire theatres and things like that, bring that to people rather than expect them to come to us because it's cheaper or anything else. So that's going on the end of autumn. And then at the beginning of next year, we've got a festival going on which is called Against the Odds, which is where we're looking at stories of people who've made a contribution in England against the odds. So the ones that we've got running at the moment are the stories of the Irish dockers who came to the rescue of the Jews in the East End, because that's never told from the Irish perspective. We're looking at the one about two nurses who won the George Medal, who awarded the George Medal in the war. So those are the two runners. But we've also got a thing about, the Last Days of Yeats, which is about a young man coming and meeting Yeats to get him to sign. Mm-hmm. And it's about Yeats being rejected from Ireland. So those are the three that are running at the moment. So you asked me about one thing that we're doing is we're going to do something. Every picture tells a story, and we're going to be connecting up Irish people to get to write a play, a very short play. So it's an entry level thing for people who've never written before. We're going to show them some pictures by Irish artists, either in this country or not in this country. And we're going to get, say, write us a 15 minute play on that. And so we'll have, that's another way of connecting people back. But not only people can be inspired by that, but just actually say, actually, you come from somewhere where there's a great tradition of art, but nobody will ever have told you about Irish art, you might have Italian art or whatever, or English art, but you'll never hear about that. So that's another way that we're doing it. So that's coming up. So we've got a couple of people on board for that.
Fantastic. It reminds me a little of Patrick Kavanagh, who wrote a line about, and all these famous Roman things were just built on a little local rouse.
Yeah.
And how the sense that you aren't important and you don't matter is something that you just need to drop and realise that it's all the little things around you that make the great stories.
And yes, and that's interesting, because when you're kind of talking to people about the scripts that they've sent in and they've got all this sort of historical stuff in it, you say, yeah, but we need to bring it down to the personal. The art of doing it is dropping the historical into the personal. So that you just get an occasional fact, but that's taken within the sort of the conversation.
So people recognise, people need identify to with the characters, already have an affection for a certain kind of a person.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
How lovely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Anne. Perhaps you'll come back and tell us more another time.
Indeed I will. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
You are listening to a podcast from Camden Community Radio.
www.ccradio.org